Chapter 56. Suit was able to fast-track the credit card from Feeney this time with Wells Fargo. Didn't bother with anything except charges from Vermont. It turned out there were plenty, last year alone, from the Manchester area. Too many for him to just have been passing through. Molly came up with a property listing for a Mr. K. Feeney in a town a half hour from Manchester called Danby. Jesse knew the chief in Manchester, a guy he'd met at a couple New England law enforcement seminars. Captain Pete Chacon. Jesse knew that procedure dictated that he ought to call Chacon, who had jurisdiction in his state. But if Feeney was there, he might be ready to blow. Jesse was sure Chacon was a good cop, operating an even smaller department than the one in Paradise, and trusted him. Jesse trusted himself more. Before he left the office, Molly asked if he had a plan. He told her he was going up there in the morning, and she said she was going with him, and was sure Sonny would want to go too. "We miss the signs," she said. "If it's him, we all miss them," Jesse said. "It's still on us as much as anybody," she said. "All of us," Jesse said. "We still don't know for sure that it is him, or that he's up there," Molly said, "or that he's got Candace with him." Jesse told her that at this point, the list of things they didn't know about this case could stretch from here to the Green Mountains. "We should maybe think about going up there tonight," Molly said. "Let me think about it," he said, "but be ready to move." Kevin Feeney wasn't the only one who could lie. When Jesse got home, he called Pete Chacon, told him he had a possible missing person, technically true, asked if he could get close to the address in Danby without being seen. "You think this guy might be a runner?" Chacon said. "Hope that's all he is for now," Jesse said. "You want me to wait until dark?" Chacon said. "No," Jesse said. Chacon called back 45 minutes later. Said he'd gotten to within a couple hundred yards of the house. No lights on inside, no cars. Said there were some tire tracks on the dirt road, but that didn't mean anything, as there were a couple hunting cabins farther up the mountain. "I got pretty close," Chacon said. "Place looks deserted. Could the person you're looking for be out getting food or something?" "Or I'm dead wrong about this," Jesse said. "Hard to put a guy there without him being seen," Chacon said. "Just the way the property is. But I could circle back in a couple hours. You coming up to check it out yourself?" "Thinking about it," Jesse said, lying his ass off now. He ended the call with Chacon, grabbed a couple bottles of water, a couple energy bars, locked up behind him, and got ready to drive to Danby, Vermont. He was just outside Paradise when his phone chirped. The screen on the dashboard said, "Biddeford PD." The voice at the other end came through the Explorer's stereo system. The caller identified himself as Sergeant Nason and said his captain had given him Jesse's number. Said they might have a lead on the case Deputy Chief Crane had been up there working on. "Is this about Beau Marino?" Jesse said. "Maybe, maybe not," Nason said. "A couple rabbit hunters found a body a few hours ago out past Clifford Point. What's left of it, anyway. Face is pretty much gone. I just got back from there." He cleared his throat and said, "Can't say for sure, but it looks like somebody tried to blow the guy's head off with a shotgun. Or some kind of hunting rifle." Jesse said, "So, no ID. Thinking dental records aren't going to be in play, sir," Nason said. "Other than that, not sure the Lord himself could identify him at this point. We'll run his prints through the system, see if we get a hit." "But white male?" "Yes, sir. Average size?" Nason said it appeared so. Then he said, "Oh, God damn it, to hell and back." He might never unsee what he'd just seen. Not just because of what the gun had done. Animals, too. Bear country, he said. "You had any missing persons up there lately?" Jesse said. "Other than a homeless guy from Kennebunkport a couple months back we never located." "No, sir," Nason said. It was quiet in the car. "You still there?" Mason said. It came out, "there." Jesse told them he was still there and was on his way north, part of the same investigation that had sent his deputy chief up to Biddeford. He told Nason that if they somehow identified the body, to call back. If necessary, he could spend the night in Vermont and be there in the morning. "You believe in coincidence, Sergeant Nason?" Jesse said.
"Beg pardon?"
"Coincidence," Jesse said. "Cops in Maine believe in it?"
"Not as a general rule, sir, no," he said.
"Me neither," Jesse said. He ended the call. The inside of the car was quiet as Jesse drove north toward the night, thinking there was at least a chance that the ghost, from the start, might have been Beau Marino. "And then there was one," Jesse said.